Previously on Wasted Information.
There was little just shit every, like, I can't even on the wall, on the floor.
I just remember one guy's face. He just looking at me going, "We don't sell pies. She brought a pie from home to have at work."
Oh, no, I was the factory bitch. Like, that was my job, was to be the factory bitch.
And then you strip search them, which means you got to look through all their clothes, and they're standing there butt naked. You got to make them lift. You got to make them turn. You got to make them spread the cheeks. You got to look at dicks, balls, and buttholes.
I come to find out, I am not only just this marketing assistant, I am the marketing department. Not for the new flagship station that we've opened, but for all of the American chain, like the branches that we've opened so far. So like 8 different offices. And you just hear him going, "It's America. I can sue whoever I want." And she goes, "It is. That's not how things work here." Like,
this is Wasted Information. Wasted Information.
This is Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
What are you drinking, Brandon?
Today I'm drinking Braxton Brewing Co.'s Garage Beer Premium Lager. It's good beer. Solid, just beer. It's summertime. Need something to stock the fridge with. Braxton Brewing Co. is out of Covington, Kentucky. The description is, this premium lager is incredibly refreshing and thirst-quenching. Brewed only with Pilsner malt and Magnum hops, brings a crisp, dry finish with medium light body and moderate carbonation. A light bitterness from the single Magnum hop addition makes this the perfect beer for every occasion. That's about all I got. See you around. Comes in the can and on draft. What are you drinking, Jimmy?
I didn't go buy anything local. I just had something in the fridge. I was like, I'm drinking that. Because I really don't drink outside of this. Not at home, at least. So these have been sitting in here. So I'm drinking Colt 45 malt liquor. If you don't know what Colt 45 is, educate yourself. Well, if you've never seen Colt 45 in the liquor store, that means you've gone to too nice of a liquor store. Not the Afro Man.
Do you want to give us a description?
I'm trying to find one online. Besides the Wikipedia article. Colt 45 is a song by Afro Man. Well, no, it's actually called Crazy Rap. But everyone knows it as Colt 45 and Two Zigzags. Colt 45, malt liquor. Usually don't see them in a can. You see them in a 40-ounce bottle.
Yep.
That's when I first tried it, though. But this is the one, I think I cut it out of the episode that I talked about it because I got distracted by the dude in the wheelchair that tried to sell me,
yeah,
was it Xanax or something, or pain pills or something.
Vicodin,
there you go. I was buying a local beer and I was like, oh, they have Colt 45 here, so it means I'm not in as nice of an area as Avon. So I bought a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans, and I get to the register, and as he rings it up, he tells me a price, and I was confused, and I look, and a 4-pack of 16-ounce Colt 45s is $3.99. Yeah.
Dollar a can.
Colt 45 on Beer Advocate.
It's not. It's like technically beer, right? It is malt liquor. Is there a difference between just malt liquor and beer?
I don't know. I've never looked into it. But introduced in 1963 by the Baltimore, Maryland-based National Brewing Company, Colt 45 was named in honor of running back Jerry Hill, who was number 45 on the 1963 Baltimore Colts football team. Though high-profile partnerships with actor Billy D. Williams and comedian Red Fox, who both appeared in radio, print, and TV advertisements, Colt 45 established itself as the premier malt liquor beverage in the early 1970s. It was also during this time the iconic slogan, "Works Every Time," became synonymous with the brand.
So the main difference between malt liquor and beer is the way it's made and the alcohol content.
Well, it's only 5.61.
compared to beer, beer contains less alcohol. It's usually 5%, less than 5%. If you're talking just your regular standard, like lager, light beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get into
when we get into our craft stuff,
craft.
Chip. Yeah. Mine's a lager. It's only 4%. When you start getting into the craft stuff, it's much higher. But so beer's either top or bottom fermented, and malt liquor is only bottom fermented.
Oh.
So the more you know.
But yeah, Colt 45, I first heard of it watching the Star Wars holiday special, that abomination, because there was a commercial on it for Colt 45.
I'm pretty sure they didn't mention it in the movie.
No, there's some weird commercials.
Gotcha.
Like Jackie Robinson gum. But
is it like Big League Chew?
Sort of. But it's just by Jackie Robinson. They talked about him hitting two home runs in the same game. Whoa, that was crazy.
Because he was chewing gum?
Must have been. But then seeing Billy Dill Williams. Billy D. Williams holding up a can to Colt 45. Says works every time. And I was like, he's the coolest man that I've heard of. He said drink Colt 45. So I gotta listen to him.
So was it works every day? Works to do what? What are you trying to do that it's working?
Yeah, ask the hobos that drink it. Get you drunk.
Gets you drunk every time. I'm like, what? What's the end goal there?
Get drunk. Spend $4 and get wasted.
Keeps your mouth wet every time. Like, I don't
get it.
All right.
I just know most times when you say Colt 45, most people turn their nose up at it. In the same way, if you say MD 2020, it's got the same visceral reaction of like, that's what you drank when you when you weren't the one buying alcohol, when you just got a hold of what you could get a hold of. Yep. I wouldn't know much about that because I'm a square and I didn't start drinking until after high school. But maybe that's why I actually like Colt 45, because I didn't get burned on it when I was young.
I have to say, I think I've only had it maybe once.
I like it though. I don't like OE that much. Cobra is disgusting.
Yeah, I think Magnum is...
Magnum's the one with the big mouth bottle. That's the one, that's the 40 in the plastic bottle.
Comes in the 40, yeah. I think Magnum's what I had.
Magnum's gross, too.
I'm trying to think back to...
besides, like, Bud Light, Miller Lite, like Budweiser. I think the staple 40 brands are Colt 45, OE, Magnum. Cobra.
I've had Cobra once.
Maybe Steel Reserve. I can't remember.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know. Is that coming in 40s? Probably.
I don't know if it's not a malt. Because the others are beers in 40-ounce bottles.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember doing in college, like, Edward 40 Hands.
I remember going to, not to be offensive, but what the ticket said, what that was advertised as, was midget wrestling.
Oh.
Little people wrestling, but it was called midget wrestling. And
throw back to our happy hour this week.
Yeah, the jelly-filled munchkins. I found out about during trivia and during intermission, I ran to the front bar and bought a ticket. And I didn't know anyone else going. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'll go by myself. And then one of my best... he's top three. He's either two or three, I'm not sure, of best friends. Probably three, maybe two, depending on the day. I haven't seen him in a while. But he got a ticket too. He's like, oh, I'm going too. I was like, fuck, we're going together. He was like, we should dress up like rednecks. It's like, awesome. I still have that picture. He had cut off jeans, cut off denim. He did a half shirt. We got mullet wigs, but mine didn't look like hair at all, so I didn't wear it. His looked hilariously good because he got a brunette one. But then we did a power hour and he had a bunch of Yingling because that was before Yingling was distributed Indiana. So he would go out of state and then take orders. But we did a power hour. Then we go to the bar, we're like, we'll eat pizza and then go down there and get ready. They're like, what are you drinking? I'm like, oh, what's on special? It's like Budweiser, Bud Light, and Miller Lite 40s for like $4. We're like, guess we're drinking 40s today. I remember.
I don't think I've ever went anywhere where 40s
I know. and it never was again. We might have ruined it.
I was going to say, I feel like they learned a lesson after that one.
But we were drinking 40s and watching little people wrestle. And it was amazing from what I remember, because I blacked out and woke up at home. I don't know how I got there. He texted me the next morning. He's like, dude, what the fuck happened? I was like, what do you mean? He said, last thing I remember was doing shots with one of the midgets, and then I woke up at home. And then the same guy slapped the pizza out of his hand at work the next day. He showed me a picture at Harry's of my buddy passed out, dressed as a redneck, but like sleeping and sitting up at the booth, just like slumped over, but like with his hairy gut hanging out. But with still with the mullet wig on and everything and a half shirt. That was a hell. That was a night brought to you by 40s. But anyway, so that's what we're drinking right now. That's what we're drinking in the happy hour. And instead of doing an actual real deal, we're just going to do the part two of the jobs, shitty jobs, job goals discussion, since we had so much audio that we couldn't fit into one. Only problem I'm seeing is we just are like, we're just going to record a happy hour today. And we've recorded for over 2 hours. So I'm in the same boat as last time. Hey, y'all. Jimmy Robocaski here. How you doing? Before we get into it, I want to talk to y'all about soap for a minute. And I don't mean these sketchy soaps you find at the grocery store with all the chemicals in them that you can't even pronounce. And I'm also not talking about these natural brands that charge you an arm and a leg for a bar barely big enough to wash one arm and one leg. I'm talking about Huracan Botanicals, or Huracan Botanicals for those uncultured folk out there. But hey, a rose by any name would smell as sweet, same goes for this soap. These Mayan-made body products contain remedies and blends made from a mix of all-natural oils and herbs to benefit from our Mayan gods and goddesses. These products are organic and vegan. Some products include the highly moisturizing lavender bar, my personal favorite, that also has a gentle calming scent, the energy boosting citrus, the super detoxifying hemp bar. That's right, people, I said hemp. It helps with aches and body pains on top of cleansing and helping with acne. And even though it's hemp, this bar is THC free, so you can feel fresh and still pass a drug test. And I am a longtime customer, but don't just take my word for it. You can learn more and try the products out for yourself. Go to Etsy.com/shop/Huracan Botanicals or go to Facebook.com/HuracanB. That's Huracan, Huracan. And awaken your inner gods and goddesses today with Huracan Botanicals.
Worst work experience ever. The most stressful, like, 2 months of my life. The commute was great. I loved commuting, taking the train an hour each way back and forth every day. That was fantastic. But
was it?
Goddamn. I've never been so stressed in a work scenario ever. And I fucking, for all intents and purposes, own my own business now.
Wow. That's
good. And consult for other people. And it's nowhere near as stressful as working on a Korean game show. But as of right now, I mean, I worked for a great company after that. I actually got poached from the Korean company. They saved me. The company I consult for them now, but I was working in their marketing department. They called me up and I was like, yes, right away, I will do an interview. Took the interview on the streets of New York, like just in Bryant Park. Like I was like, I don't care where I am. I'll take it outside. Doing an interview outside is never a great idea, but especially in downtown New York.
Yeah.
But it got me eventually to this place where I'm very happy now. Great company. We've been through a couple acquisitions now. The company's grown like 1,000%. Like that's not even an exaggeration since I started. They're great. And let me transition when I moved into owning my own company now and consulting for them and opening that up to other small businesses. So I'm in the ideal situation now. I make my own hours for the most part and can set my own rates. And I think I'm pretty much doing what I want to do. Like I'd have to find something pretty damn fantastic to leave that ever. I mean, my whole goal now is to just expand and see who else I can help and who else I can work for. And COVID kind of shit on all that. But as we're coming out of the COVID days, hopefully I can do better there and get to know more local businesses and help out. Where are you at in the career spectrum?
Can't quite say ideal by any means, but slowly like working my way up, like bettering my positions and jobs.
Yeah. That's all you can ever really ask for.
Yeah.
Just always do something better.
One thing my sister had mentioned to me when I was going between jobs or complaining about something with work, she just put it out there bluntly. She told me, your big problem you got is you keep taking jobs where you can either do the job of the manager better than they can, or you're obviously smarter than like the management there, where you would be a better fit in the management position, but you don't want to be in the management position at that job. Like, it's not going to be worth doing.
Right, right.
And yeah, it's true. It's a lot of things too. Like going to school, like spend all that time and school doing criminal justice stuff, and now I want nothing to do with that field. So trying to figure out what
I would say. Yeah, what would your ideal be now? Like, if you could work anywhere, what would it be?
Well, because that's when you break it down as to
it's tough. Like,
in what aspect do you mean ideal? Because I talked to my sister about that too, about doing jobs. It's not so much because some of the conversation gets, what job, or would you do your job for free? It's like, nobody would want to do their job for free.
Nah.
Very few people. You got it in a situation of, if you were financially stable, like if finances weren't an issue, would you still do the job you're doing? Like, even like if you didn't need the paycheck, would you still do that job? Do you still love doing that? Yeah.
Even I would change the things I'm doing now if that was the case. And like, I would 100%, you know, focus more on, not necessarily charity, but like not getting paid for it, like helping out like charities more if I could, and like doing more work for less pay for these like startups.
Yeah.
And if I could.
And that was the thing, trying to figure out like in my position, because I'm closing in on 30 here. And when I was in my early 20s, it was a matter like going in with the mindset of, oh, I have to figure out what I'm going to do by the time I'm X years old, or it's not going to work. Something's not going to work out or whatever. You can figure out what you want to do whenever you figure it out. Oh, you don't have to be a certain age. There's no cutoff for it to figure out what you're going to do or what you want to do.
Our generation isn't a career focused generation necessarily either. We're not the people who are going to go find a job and work there for the rest of our lives. Like, we all hop around. We find jobs that fit what we want in that time, or even just fit what we need, something that'll pay the bills sometimes, but we're all going to hop around and find different jobs.
Yeah. And for me, a big thing was like trying to figure out what I'm passionate about, like what I'd want to do. And as far as like side hustles go, like doing like weddings, that's always fun to do. Like, if I could turn that into a full-time job, like to support, but it always comes back to, how do I support myself doing this? Like, doing the podcast thing is like, we could support ourselves just doing the podcast. That'd be cool too, but that takes a lot more than where we're at right now.
Yeah. With that, like and share if you rate us on
make the dream. Fuck it,
what is it?
Make our dream happen.
Give us 5 stars.
But what I was getting at, I was on a date recently, and just in talking to her, I had talked about stuff like finding all the animals like on my route and like getting them help, all that.
Yeah.
Time pulled the ducks out of a storm drain, shit like that. She's like, you really love animals. Like, you ever thought about like you should have been a vet? And at first I was like, yeah, I don't know about being a vet, because I don't think I could mentally handle like putting animals down type thing.
Yeah.
But then in doing my job and like getting contacts around Indianapolis, Marion County, of like these nonprofits, small, independently owned businesses that help with all that, I'm like, oh, that's something I could definitely do. But a lot of those are just like volunteer jobs.
Yeah.
So if I could do something in the vein of that and still support myself, that would be the ideal position. If I could, but the main thing is, with the doing jobs now is like I'm supporting myself financially, but it's taking all of my time during the week to where I can't really help out in the other aspect. But if I had a situation where I could support myself financially, I would 100% be out there like trying to recover lost pets and shit.
Yeah, it's a tough balance, like getting started. I mean, there's a mindset that's like, well, if you don't make time for it now, you'll never do it. The people are the same way that are always like, oh, I'll give to charity when I have the money. And people are like, no, you won't.
Yeah.
Because if you're not giving them to them now when you don't have the money, you're not going to give them to them when you do have the money. But same type of mindset there. Like, if you can't make time for it now when you say you don't have time. But, like, I mean, I get it. I'm the same way where, like, some weeks just kick your ass and you don't want to do anything. Like, yeah, I only work for, you know, one or two clients now. But if I'm spending even 40, 50 hours a week, it might not necessarily be a lot of time, but sometimes it's just mentally just draining time. Like, it's just stuff you don't want to do all the time for every client. And it's just, you're like, all right, by the time I get to, you know, the end of my day, whenever that may be, it's, I'm done. Like, I can't do anything else. Like, I'm going to sleep most of, especially the way I've been splitting up my days. Like, I'll work like four on, four off, and four on, where I take 4 hours in the middle of the day for myself to work on my house and run errands if I have to get shit done around here. I mean, we're renovating our entire house, so trying to get stuff done while it's nice out and light outside. And then I work from, like, you know, 7 to 11 or 12 sometimes at night, you know, and then I'll just crash.
Yeah.
But,
and then on my end with that too, yeah, you get the mental toll of that, but then my job is a lot more physical too, so I'm like, literally physically beat down. Like,
thankfully I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I'm coming home, like, I'm sore, like, I'm beat up, and then depending on what day it is, like, well, I gotta get the podcast edited. I've had days where, like, this past week they've come out a little later because it was just such a nightmare of a week.
Yep.
Especially, and then right on the heels of I just moved. So it's taken a while, but so it's like, but I want to make sure, like we talked about earlier, texting each other, we don't want to miss a week, because the first time you miss a week, that's when it's like doing the thing we've talked about with going to the gym. First day, you're like, oh, well, we'll not do it this week. It's like, nope, if we do that, it's going to be a sharp decline. It's like every time, if we make an excuse once, it's going to keep coming. So to keep it going, even if we don't have anything, if we do this for 2 years and we don't grow in listener base, it's still like a good, almost like a meditation, like doing the editing.
I was going to say, it's our, not quite therapy, but just a time to decompress and vent a little bit, if nothing else.
Yeah. But that's the thing too. That's how it was the first like year of us recording. Cause nothing came of it.
Which none of those are ever going to see the light of day.
They never got, there's one episode that's saved. It's like a video one you and I did, but I think that's just episode
one. The very first ones. Yeah.
It's still in my Google Drive. Every time I log in, I find it.
Forgot about those. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with those.
I don't know. I got just mental burnt out anyway. It's like,
both of us are just,
this episode's just going to get peter out at the end.
And
on that note,
keep working hard, work towards your dreams.
There you go. Don't think that it's too late to do stuff. You can still try. Just do it.
My parents found their, I wouldn't say dream jobs, but they found their best jobs ever when they were in their late 40s.
Yeah, Oprah didn't get started doing shit till she was 40. So who knows? Just basically I have people in my life that try to go for their dreams, but go in with like a misguided mindset and fuck it up because they don't know what they're doing. Take your time to that's a big thing. Take your time, but to figure out what you're trying to do, like keep working towards it. Don't give up on it, but act smart. Yeah. Do your research on everything. Make sure you're making the right moves. Don't just rush into shit. Just know there is time to still do your dream job, to get your dream job, to all that shit.
random job things while we're there. I didn't want to bring it up during the thing. Have you ever thought of doing like looking for jobs at like a boarding facility?
It's the problem with that is that would be amazingly fun because like the one they go to up in Eagle Creek, Wiggle Butt, but I'm not going to get a livable wage off of it.
So I think the ones here, I'm pretty sure, I mean, they were pretty decent, but if you could ever get into like, I don't know if you'd want to do something like like becoming a trainer, like the guy who does the puppy training classes here, he's essentially one of the managers and I know he does pretty well. Like we were talking the one time and he was like, I'm taking a vacation. It was like him and his buddies. He's like, I'm taking a week and a half off and going somewhere with my friends. I think they're going down to like getting a cabin in Tennessee or something. And he's like, I told him not to worry about it. Like I was just footing the bill. I was like, well, fuck. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, I think it was when we were going away, where did we have to board Jack? Oh, we were going out to Arizona and we were talking about vacations and shit. I was like, well, fuck. I don't know if he made his money somewhere else and just decided to retire and become a dog trainer, but he's a pretty young guy. He was the one that shocked me the first time, actually. He was like the big burly kind of black dude with like, he was just completely tatted up. And then like the puppies came out and he's like, who's a good boy? Just like on the floor playing with the puppies. And I was like, yes.
I guess that'd be me then.
With that guy. But yeah, he's the puppy trainer. He does all the puppy classes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they can't pay any worse than like a retail job. I mean, not that that's good pay, but.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing in my mind. Like I have that in my radar of like special, like if I didn't need a job, if I was financially stable without a job, if these fucking my bookie bets come through, I'm quitting FedEx and I'm going to work I'm gonna work part time at a dog boarding facility, and the other half of my time I'm gonna do rescuing animals. Because one thing I was looking at is like, because Indianapolis, their animal control is so bad. Mm. I was like, I wonder what they would pay, like what those jobs are. But I'm assuming they're not enough.
Apparently the cons. So the place I take him to is like a chain. So, I mean, they're rated and whatever on like Glassdoor. But it's like, apparently it's high turnover and non-management positions. Like six different people have said that. Apparently they have 401k matching.
Oh,
I mean, this is a bigger place. You're gonna find that at a local like boarding place.
But. Yeah, but no, that would be a dream. Well, because I imagine that too is like being financially stable to be able to put money towards like bettering the animal recovery. Because at one point recently, where they kennel them at the animal control, they were full. Like they were like. Putting kennels out in the hallways because they literally had no space. There's so many dogs getting brought in around Marion County to where they were like, we either have to have like a free, like come adopt these animals day, which ends up fucking up worse. Cause then they get abandoned or they're going to have to start like putting them down, which is also not ideal, but just being able to, what would be awesome, like if I won the lottery, if I was like a millionaire, what I'd end up doing was I'd get connected with all the like independent ones I could think of, work with city, probably get like a big ass facility, like just help make country's largest like dog shelter, well, animal shelter. But anyway, this is wasted information. I'm starting the intro again. I said it. This is a waste of information. I'm Jimmy. We're talking about our jobs again. We're recording for three and a half hours. I'm fucking spent. Well, that was part two of the Wasted Information Job Talk episode. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at WastedInfoPod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.